Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now listen. Listen, it's very important we catch the expectation of God of us in this age. Because the estate we are in will determine whether we will go or not when the rapture strikes. And that's why this message can only be preached now in this end time. Because it is for the end time element of the bride of Jesus Christ. So we see Matthew chapter 5. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Amen. Let me read it up to verse 6, 7 or so. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And you go on the whole of chapter 5, and he began to lay down concerning murder, concerning divorce, concerning oath, concerning adultery, concerning retaliation, concerning love, chapter 6 also, concerning giving, alms given, and even how to pray, how to fast, concerning how you should, you know, handle wealth, and then came to up to chapter 7. Praise the Lord. Chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. What was Jesus Christ doing in these three chapters? Jesus was setting the divine standard for his kingdom. He was setting the divine standard for his kingdom. In chapter 5, verses 3 up to verse 6, what was he doing there? He was setting up the foundation of a meaningful relationship with God in this new setting, the grace age that he was ushering in. They are the foundation. The foundation there, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit this earth. And we're inheriting this earth in the millennium. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They are compulsory principles demanded from those who desire to enter the kingdom. Praise the Lord. What is the summary of that Sermon on the Mount? The summary of the Sermon on that Mount, the summary is in chapter 6, verse 48. It's 548, not 648, sorry. That is the summary. That's all he wants to achieve. Verse 48, he said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Be ye therefore perfect. Hallelujah. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I want to achieve something here by what I'm saying. In chapter 5, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 20. Chapter 5 and verse 20. There's something he says there. He said, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Except your righteousness. So now let's look at it. What is God's standard for righteousness? First, he gives us a reference point. What is the reference point? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. They are known, and even the scribes, they are known to be the holy people of that time. Am I correct? They kept the law. It's not make believe. They are known for keeping the law letter to letter, full stop to full stop. They are the ones, some of them walking on the streets. They even cover their face so that they will not see evil. They will wash their hands before they eat, according to the law. Unclean things, they will not eat it. They kept the law to the letter. If you notice, their own challenge of Jesus always is from the law of Moses. They want to tempt him to make him fall so that they will grab him to prove that he doesn't know anything. They were known to be the holy people, so they arrogated to themselves the standard of holiness acceptable before God. See some of their characteristics. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18. Amen. Let me read it from verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Hallelujah. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So number one characteristic of the Pharisees, and please don't look at the history of Pharisees. The Pharisees I'm speaking of are sitting down here listening to us now. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. They are the type that believe they are better than others because they don't wear earring. They don't palm their hair. Their skirts touch ground. They don't even wear cream. They don't even rub cream. But he said they trust in themselves. Verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And we know who the publican. So the righteous one, very righteous one, and these criminals. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Because he saw that publican praying as the other at the other side. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican that is there standing and praying. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You see? So would you say he's righteous? He is righteous. And the publican now, that sinner now, standing afar off, will not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, this publican, went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. Let me see another characteristic. They are in John chapter 5, verse 44. John chapter 5, verse 44. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I was speaking to the Pharisees again and the Sadducees. He said, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? So, another characteristic of these Pharisees that trust in themselves, one thing is that you will see them receiving honor from one another. Hallelujah. And the way the Bible put it, praise the Lord. In Matthew 23, if you read it from verse 1, Matthew 23, he put it from verse. This is the way the Lord Jesus Christ put it. He says, verse 2. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. See them. Because remember, they seek honor among themselves. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulder, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad concerning their dressing now, their dress, describing their dressing. They make broad their phalanges and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the market, and they love to be called of men who? Rabbi, Rabbi. That is the identity of the Pharisee and Sadducee spirit that exists even now in the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. They trust themselves that they are righteous. That is why he is called Reverend Doctor, Reverend Father. He is grace. He is preeminence. Hallelujah. Amen. Why? They love receiving honor from one another. They want to introduce them. Come and see. We have in our midst Reverend Doctor, Bishop, Archbishop, and then everybody stand up, bah, 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 and they have a special seat carved out. Have you seen the seat of the GO in a denomination? And mommy and daddy seat? If you have ever gone to the palace of a king, then you'll understand who they are. Now, such a person, amen, hallelujah, if Jesus, the humble man of Galilee, will come, will they recognize him? Such a person, what type of prayer points do you think he prays? Glory be to God. And so, that is a characteristic of the Pharisee. And he is saying that except our righteousness exceed, that is God's requirement. Listen very well. What is this got to do with foolish and wise virgin, which is our topic today? You will get it. Just listen very well. Amen. Praise the Lord. Except your righteousness goes beyond, exceed. Amen. That of Pharisees and Sadducees, that means they were doing all that one they achieved by their own efforts. But the kind of righteousness that is acceptable by God, hallelujah, must be righteousness that is not on your own terms, the terms that a man can achieve and get to. You possess all religious attainments. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Your righteousness should not be that which you will boast of concerning obeying all the law. Hallelujah. The righteousness that Christ demands from us is a righteousness that exceeds that righteousness. Christ demands a righteousness that far exceeds or is beyond man's capacity. What Christ demands is a divine righteousness that comes from God, a standard that man himself is utterly unable to attain. The righteousness that God expects from us, he said, be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And except your own righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees. So what he's saying is that the kind of righteousness that Christ was preaching is a kind of righteousness that no man can attain. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. How righteous are we supposed to be? We are supposed to be more righteous than the most righteous human beings you know. Glory be to God. So that you will understand the Sermon on the Mount. Amen. If you understand the Sermon on the Mount, what Christ is trying to achieve is to bring you to an estate where you will face the fact that you cannot live God's standard. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Therefore, because you cannot live God's standard, you are now brought to an estate where you are now, you soon discover that you are empty. You now discover that you are poor. Blessed are the poor in the spirit. You suddenly now discover I have failed. Hallelujah. And the time, it is only when you come to that estate of mind to see that all my righteousness is not acceptable by God. I am poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Because it's only poor people that beg, correct? Because you are poor in the spirit, it brings you to an estate where you are now begging God, begging God, begging God, begging God. I want to be like you. I want to be like you. You have emptied yourself of anything you think you are before. It brings you to an estate where you trust God and trust Him alone. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because you know there is nothing in you that can end that type of thing. There is nothing in you that you can end it. You can't achieve it. And yet, to enter that kingdom, you must have that righteousness that brings you to that perfection that God requires. Praise the Lord. So in verse 4, you can hear him say, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Because of total sinfulness. Why are you mourning? Mourning there, you are crying, you are dejected, because you suddenly discover that all that you knew before, Apostle Paul said he counted it as what? Dung. And every day he said, that I may know him. Oh, glory be to God. With all his achievements, all the degrees he had in the law, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Oh, glory be. He could boast of the highest school of theology he attended. But when he met the standard required by God, he soon discovered he knew nothing. Isaiah met with God. He thought he was wise. He thought he was holy also. Because he thought the fact that he will not bow to the image, the fact that he will not, you know, he lived a life and that he could boast of, that he was the holy one. But when God showed him what holiness is, in Isaiah chapter 6, what did he say? He shouted, he cried, woe is to me, for I am a man of unclean lips. And yet, he will not eat any unclean food from the king's house. But that's why I say, there is nobody that meets genuinely with Christ that there will be any element of pride in you concerning any achievement, any attainment in life. The first identity of your meeting with God is humility. I've had people, I want to correct you. I want to correct you. Don't think it's a compliment to me. It's not compliment to me, anything. This pastor, he's so simple. This pastor, Pastor Moses, is so humble. It's not so. I am a Christian. People don't understand. I say, I never work anywhere else. All my life was in the military until I left. In the military, we are taught to be proud. Can you imagine somebody that is taught to be proud? They teach us to be proud. You are an officer, they call it officer-like quality. Eh? David, am I correct? No, you're a senior military officer. That's a colonel in the Nigerian army. Eh? Is it not true?
True, sir. Sir.
We are taught to be proud.
Very true, sir.
The way you walk, if you like, walk anyhow, when they finish with you, you walk with pride. Know that, you know, there's something here, so you have to lift up your shoulder, you know, so that everybody will know that your own is here. Praise the Lord. But when I met with Christ, hallelujah. When I met with Christ, I soon discovered, praise the Lord. Not making it, it's automatic because it's a product of revelation. It's a product of experience. Inside the prison yard, I was still carrying myself as officer. A prison officer, sergeant, was talking to me one day. And I just looked at him and said, because they locked me up here, that's why you're talking to me like this. Are you not aware that I'm a military officer? Am I your rank? Because they locked me here. Prisoner! So the man went to report me to the controller of prison. They called me. A punishment they won't give. And then the controller looked at me. Is it true you are rude to the sergeant? I said, doesn't the sergeant know that I'm a commissioned officer? He was rude to me, not me rude to him. And the man said, officer, take it easy. You are in the prison yard. It was still in me. But when I met with Christ in that same prison yard, when I see corporal, I say, how are you, sir? I greet the same sergeant, how are you, sir? Everybody became sir. I was not making it. I didn't even know I was doing it. How can you meet with God and still think you are anything? How can you meet with Christ through the cross and still have pride in you? Because you have money. Because you have anointing. So every other person, it is evidence you are not part of the show. Those that are part of the show, that took place on the cross on Calvary that will culminate in the rapture, it's a show. They have identity. And Christ was telling us through the Sermon on the Mount, this is the foundation, this is the standard. And that is why some people will see it and some cannot see it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. They shall be comforted. Blessed, verse 5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Why? Hallelujah. Because they knew they fall short of God's standard. They know, therefore they are humble, they are meek. And verse 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Why are they hungry and thirsty for righteousness? Because they know without it, eternal life is out of reach. Then you discover what eternal life is. You know there is a standard. Without it, hallelujah, you know you can't get it. Therefore, you are hungry for it. You are thirsty for it. And you must come to that estate before you can be part of this show. Therefore, you see why? The publican is justified. Because the publican, first and foremost, he met the standard for God to perfect him. Before God will perfect you, you have to empty yourself and see the nothingness in you. If you must be perfect, even as our Father which is in heaven be perfect, that means you need him to perfect you. And if you need him to perfect you, then you must be like the publican who accepted that I am nothing. Like the same thing with Apostle Paul. He accepted he was nothing. And then we see the level that God took him. That's why he said, if you humble yourself, he will lift you up. But if you decide to exalt yourself, then be ready to be abased. Praise the Lord. And that is why in Matthew chapter 10, they were accusing, Matthew chapter 9, sorry, where they were accusing, if you read it from verse 10, that the Pharisees, the holy people, are saying that, see him there, he's eating with the sinners. He's always associating with the publicans. Amen. That is the reason, because those are the group of people that realize their estate. They realize, hallelujah, that they are sinners. They realize that they are falling short of expectation. Already, even by man's standard, we are criminals. How much more before the holy God? Praise the Lord. And that is why he said, the first shall be the last. And the last shall be the first. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He repeated it several times. He said it when he was speaking concerning the apostles' reward in Matthew 19 and verse 30. And in Matthew chapter 20, verse 16, concerning the parable of the laborers, he said the same thing. And in Luke chapter 13 and verse 30, concerning the way into the kingdom, he repeated, the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is why he turned and looked at them, and he could say, in Luke there, Luke chapter 13, where he looked at them and said, you will be there, you will see Abraham and the rest sit in the kingdom, but you yourself will be thrust out with all your righteous appearance. You saw it first. Now you'll be the last to come in. Oh, glory be to God. So take note now. Concerning the foolish and the wise virgins. The position of the foolish and the wise virgin is now also now explained in Matthew chapter 7. Let's read it. We read part of it before. Matthew 7:21. Let's see the setting there. Let's see the setting there. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Oh, glory be to God. So, what is the will of the Father which is in heaven now? The will of the Father which is in heaven is the Sermon on the Mount. Spelled out, this is the requirement in chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. Is the foundation of our faith. The principle for the kingdom. Until you come to this estate, you are out of the will of the Father. He said, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22, Matthew chapter 7. Many will say to me in that day, and the day will soon come, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works at that time. And then, that future, will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So you can see that they were claiming that they were with him. They cast out devils in his name. Therefore, I can tell you something. These people, they were not, they were not people who commercialized the gospel. They were not prostitutes. They were not pastors that were committing fornication and adultery. They were not commercial preachers who were selling anointing oil and selling handkerchief and selling everything. I believe that they were virgins. That I referred to. Because they could face Jesus Christ and tell him, in your name we did this. There is no fornicator that will justify himself before Christ. There is no adulterer that will justify herself before Christ. There is nobody that enrich himself, duping the church members in the name of the Lord, that will try to justify himself before Christ. Because by the time you meet him, your screen will be showing yourself. So for somebody to look at him like we see in Luke chapter 13, let's read it. Verse 25. Luke chapter 13. We have verse 24. It says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, they will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once, that is at the end, is at the end. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand outside, without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. That means they are sure that they followed him. They followed him. And yet he's saying, I never knew you. What did he say? But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Now, the way it is used here, you will make it look as if they were sinners. The way it looks here, because it says, you workers of iniquity. Praise the Lord. But a worker of iniquity must be somebody who thought what he was doing was right, only to find out before Christ that it was not acceptable. That's why he can stand and face him. I'm bringing this home. That's why he can stand and justify himself before even Christ himself. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said, I never knew you. I know you not whence you are. So when did he know them? When did he know them? Church, listen. And it's important you catch this point in your understanding of salvation. Very, very important. Christ is not gambling. God is not gambling in selecting who will be saved and who will not be saved. So he knows the wise virgin. He knows the foolish virgins. He knows them. And when he says he does not know them, what is it that makes Christ to know you, to know me? Yes? Is it because you fast every day? Answer me. Eh? Is it because you don't fornicate? Eh? Yes? Hallelujah. So let's talk now.
He said, you know you are beginning, you know your end from the beginning. So you know you from his foreknowledge, for the foundation of the world.
Thank you. Let's clap our hands for him. See, Christ did not know you, or God did not know you, the day you gave your life to Christ. The day you came to the altar, or the day you received the Holy Ghost, that is why he knew you. He knew you from the foundation of the world. The Bible says so. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and verse 5. Can we read it? For the purpose of the study. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. According, he has blessed us, according as he has chosen us in him. Many are called, few are chosen. See when he chose you. When did he choose you? Before the foundation of the world. take note of that. We are choosing in him before the foundation of the world. And he chose us that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Your destination to be another Jesus, to be in the image of Christ, it was determined from the foundation of the world. And he did it, according to Peter, by foreknowledge. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. He said, elect according to foreknowledge of God. We are elected through God's foreknowledge. He knew something concerning you before you were formed in your mother's womb. And so, in John chapter 10, oh glory be to God. By foreknowledge, Romans 8 verse 29 speaks by foreknowledge for whom he did foreknow. He knew you from the foundation of the world. No, he's excited to get that, to get to know that I am not a Christian by accident. Whatever God used to bring me in has been determined before the foundation of the world. And some of us through prison yard, some of us through sickness, incurable sickness, some of us through some mighty miracle, it attracts your attention. Some of us through one frustration or the other. Oh, glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Somebody wrote this and sent this to me. You taught us the last time that iniquity is knowing what is right and doing the wrong. But you just said it now, that workers of iniquity are those that don't know what they are, that what they are doing is wrong. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying that what they know what to do is wrong. Okay. Don't you know that if you carry lamp, you should put oil in it? Eh? You carry lamp that you're supposed to show you light. Don't you know you're supposed to put oil in it so that the light will continue to shine? So if you refuse to put the oil there, na mistake, you're a worker of iniquity. You know the right thing to do, you didn't do it. You are foolish. Keep your question. I know I'm saying so many things that will generate question. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, John chapter 10, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Number one, identity of the sheep of God. They know him, and he knows them. And here are people claiming to be his sheep, and he's telling them, I know you not. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He was discussing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and in verse 43 of John chapter 8, he asked them, why do you not understand my speech? He's talking to them. They will not understand him. The answer, he said, even because you cannot hear my word. And they cannot hear his word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because verse 47 says, he that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. And when you say you're not of God there, it's because you are not predestinated. You are not predestinated. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You are not predestinated. Your name is not in the book of life. Amen. If they are, you will know him. You will hear him. Glory be to God. And so in chapter 6, John chapter 6, verse 37 and verse 38 and verse 39. And he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And when did he give them to him? From the foundation of the world. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And so Apostle Paul, having this in mind, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19, he said the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. So the door is shut. The door is shut. Which door? The door of salvation is shut. While the foolish ones went to look for oil, the bridegroom came. And the door was shut. Hallelujah. Which door? Is the fulfillment of Romans 11 verse 25. The fullness of the Gentiles. The last one in that book of life has come in. The mercy seat is, oh glory be to God, is vacated. Salvation is over. Concerning the coming of the Lord, he told us in Matthew 24, he said, as the light lighteneth from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The sun rose from the east in Israel, and it has set revival all the seven church ages, and ended in the west. Church, the door will soon close. But the setting here is a setting where, while they were busy doing whatever they were doing, the wise ones that had enough oil went into that marriage feast. Oh, glory be to God. And after the light sets in, when the sun sets in the evening, what is the next thing that follow? What is the next thing that follow now in the day? It's darkness. Darkness here is speaking of the great tribulation period that will come. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. The door is shut. Why? Because Queen Esther has finally been chosen. Amen. The queen that the king is looking for, he has found her. No more chance for those other maidens that all were preparing themselves for the king. The mercy seat with the blood is now vacated, preparing to change to judgment seat, the day of the Lord. And of course, in future, after 1,000 years, the white throne judgment. The door is shut. The ark, Noah, eight of them have entered into the ark. God himself has closed the door. I don't see where that door was opened again for anybody to come in. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.